You are now listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to destination for women who are tired of feeling burnt out and stuck in the exhausting cycle of doing but not thriving. Each week, we'll provide you with Christ-centered mental wellness prescriptions to help you reclaim your peace, renew your purpose, and live life spiritually well. And if you're a therapist or a coach, the tools and insights that we curate here will help you make a Christ-centered impact on your clients today. Are you ready, sis? Let's get started. Hey, girl, and welcome back to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. I'm so excited because when I tell you that today's episode is blessing me and is going to set you free, friend, I'm not exaggerating. I need you to lock in, okay? I need you to really hear what the Lord is saying and be prepared for Him to reignite something on the inside of you, because that is what has happened to me. We are talking about why you don't feel God anymore and why that doesn't necessarily mean that you are off track. I want to explain something to y'all and give y'all a little bit of backstory so you can understand where we're going, okay? Last week, if you tuned in, we talked about how a lot of us are feeling frustrated because we are confusing Eden and the promised land. We have Eden expectations, but we are going to the promised land. And we talked about how the promised land, i.e., is our purpose, is the result of us being obedient, and how we oftentimes expect that to be relief, how we expect that to mean that there's ease or peace or emotional highs. And then when it isn't, we then are frustrated because our false expectations leave us burnt out, bitter, and questioning everything because the promised land does not look like what we have been taught. And what we have been taught is biblically and theologically inaccurate. The promised land isn't where you go and everything's easy. And once you get into purpose, everything is easy. No, that is Eden. Eden got lost when Adam and Eve had decided to do what they had did in Genesis 3, friend. We're not going to talk about it because it stresses me out still a little bit. We're going to give grace because we be doing it every day what they did. But anyway, we have to understand the difference, okay? If you have not listened to that episode, I need you to go back and listen to it before you continue any further. I want to share some things with y'all, and we're going to get into the points, but I feel led to really give y'all some insight into how this is playing out for me in real time. Y'all know I just came off of graduation and re-releasing the app last month. Some of y'all may be like, girl, you ain't really said nothing about the app. Literally, I got a text message from one of my besties yesterday. It was like, girl, you ain't said a word about that app. When I tell y'all, I have felt so down. I just can't really articulate it past, like, I have been sad and had this very heavy feeling. I can draw a conclusion to where it is coming from. But baby, when I'm at the nail shop yesterday and I'm trying to get my nails done, okay, after my husband was like, here's some money to get your nails done, because I had just been feeling down and telling him, like, I don't feel good mentally, emotionally. Okay. There's this heaviness that is on me. When I tell y'all that that has kept me from, because I refuse to create from this position. Okay. Like, I'm not going to try to make myself show up in a way when I don't know what is going on with me. There is something here that needs attention. And so for that reason, I've just maintained what God has called me to maintain, but have been seeking God about, like, okay, like, I need you to help me address this. I have enough wisdom to know that it is spiritual warfare. I have enough insight to understand that, hey, girl, you have ADHD, so emotional dysregulation is a big part of that. So when I feel a feeling, it's very loud, very big. I can understand that. I still had enough dependence on God to be like, hey, I appreciate all of the insight. I appreciate the clarity. I want to feel better. And that's the insight is telling me what's going on, but I need you to help me feel better. And I went to therapy yesterday. Okay, all the things got done. I'm feeling so much better today. And also, I feel like I had to go through this because the content of what we are talking about today, as I prepared for this week's episode, is literally the conclusion of God revealing to me, like, no, Charlotte, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. And now that feeling of heaviness, that feeling of dread, almost feeling trapped, kind of like, I know I need to get over there, but I don't feel like I have enough resources to get there. But I also know that God is calling me to not stay here. That feeling is the best way that I can articulate it. If you can resonate with that, friend, this episode is for you. It's for us. Because had I known last week when God told me, hey, save the five ways that you know that you're into the promised land, save that for next week. Had I not listened to that instruction, I'm not sure that the depth of what I'm going to share with y'all this week would have been there. And this is why active obedience and actively listening to God is so, so important. So if you can resonate with, like, God, I did the things, I don't know what's going on, I fell off track, do I need to reroute? Do I need to turn around? What is going on with my brain? I'm crying. Why is my face leaking? I don't know. Nobody did nothing. Nothing happened. If that resonates with you, friend, come on into the room. Let me give you a hug, okay? We are going to talk about five ways that you know that you're in the right place. This has to get down into your spirit. You have to understand that you're not going to always feel God, but that does not mean that you are off track. I am not off track. I understand now that I have encroached on enemy territory in helping people with their mental health. And so, of course, little Lucy is going to try to attack mine. And so I have to have enough spiritual maturity to understand that and then still do the things practically, taking care of myself, resting, going to therapy, being vulnerable, having my friends pray for me, doing the things. So let's get right into it. We are going to look at five ways to know that you are on track. The first way that you know that you are on track, but feels completely off. All of these are going to go against what you feel, okay? Your provision has shifted from being passive to participatory. Most people expect when you get into the promised land for it to feel like luxury, overflow, ease. Okay, I'm operating in my purpose, and so I have abundance. We hear all of these terms when we talk about the promised land, but when you actually get there, it feels like the weight of responsibility just dropped on your back, right? Like, I feel a new sense of responsibility. And so then you may start questioning whether or not you missed God. And no one really prepares us for the truth. The truth is that when we are operating in purpose, when you arrive to your promised land, your provision doesn't disappear, but it does mature. And we see this in Joshua 5. Israel finally gets through, like, crosses through the river. God has brought them into the promised land, even in the crossing of the Jordan River, right? The Bible talks about how the Jordan River was swollen. It was impassable during harvest, and it parted as soon as the priest stepped into it. That's in Joshua 3. And that the miracle confirmed God's presence, just like the Red Sea did for their parents before them. Right. So in Exodus, it was the Red Sea. Going into the promised land, there was another incident where the Jordan River literally had to move out of the way. God separated the waters again. And so we have to see that correlation and understand that even going right into your promised land, even as you're on the cusp of purpose, right? God did some very miraculous things during the 15 months that I was in school. I mean, from kidney failure to not kidney failure to getting me in with the preceptor that I needed. Like, he did so many miraculous things to let me know that he was with me. But now that signal is different. The Red Sea parting was God rescuing. This time, the Jordan River parting is not about you being rescued. It's about you walking forward and advancing in obedience and based on the memory of what you already know about God. Because this time, when you read in Joshua 3, when the priest had to step foot first. So it wasn't a staff. They had to take the first step and then the water started to part. So we're moving not from a place of God rescuing us, but we're now moving from a place of remembrance of who he is and what he's done and obedience. And so then after they cross the Jordan River, God then commands Joshua to circumcise the entire new generation. And that's in Joshua 5, verses 2 through 9. This is something that is painful, but it's symbolic because it reinstates their identity of being in covenant with God. So again, do not be alarmed if you are stepping into purpose, you're stepping into your promised land, and God is pruning things. You're going through something that is painful. This is something that is going to reinstate your identity and a covenant with God. Then after that, they celebrate Passover for the first time in this new land. So all of these things are sacred things. They are emotional milestones. These are very big community-wide markers of God's faithfulness. Graduation, right? That is a big celebration. That is an outward celebration of God's faithfulness. But then if you go to Joshua 5, verse 12, after all of these things happen, it says, the manna ceased the day after they ate some of the produce of the land. For the 40 years up to this point, God had provided supernatural food without farming, without planning, without labor. Every day, fresh manna would come down from the sky. But then they get into the promised land, they eat a piece of produce from there, and then the manna stops. There's no explanation. There's no warning. There's no closure. It just said it was over. And if we don't have proper perspective, that could look like abandonment, but there really was advancement that was happening in that season. We have to understand what this looks like when we talk about God now pushing us into a place where he's given you access to partner with him. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we oftentimes are so stressed out because we don't think that we have the provision that is necessary. But God is like, yeah, I'm providing. But now instead of you passively waiting on me, you're going to have to participate. You're going to have to till the land. I've given you this land. It is very evident that the land produces fruit because you ate some of it. And so now you have to maintain it. And this can be baffling to us, but we go through a process like this as children from a psychological standpoint. When you're young, physically and spiritually, we often are relying entirely on someone else to meet our needs. Like, babies have to be fed. They cry and then they fed. This is where you learn basic trust. There's a psychologist. His name is Eric Erickson. Okay, shout out to me and boards because I'm studying for him. And there is this developmental phase called trust versus mistrust. And essentially, this happens when you're a baby. Someone feeds us when we cry. Someone holds us when we get scared. They show up consistently. And then our nervous system says, oh, I'm safe, and I know that I'll be taken care of. And that's how many of us also experience those first few stages of our faith. When we first get saved, our prayers get answered quickly. We feel like we have support that is super obvious and easily accessible. We have these miracles that we feel like show up on schedule. But if we stop growing from that place, then we will be and stay emotionally and spiritually underdeveloped. So as we mature, God, because he is a good parent, he begins to allow us to experience agency. And we see that too with Eric Erickson in the stages of development, where we talk about having things like autonomy versus shame and initiative versus guilt. These are where we're able to start trying things for ourselves and making choices and starting to experience the weight of responsibility. And what happens is that development doesn't always feel good at first because it feels like abandonment, because what happened to the manna that I had every day? And we're not oftentimes emotionally prepared for what that maturity requires. So as our provision matures, it does not always feel like progress. It can feel like God is backing away from you. So you'll hear or feel things like, God used to speak to me so clearly, and I don't know what happened. I don't feel his presence the way that I used to. It's like I have to figure out everything on my own now. And unless someone teaches you what that means and what's actually happening, you'll start to believe that you missed the plan, that you did something wrong, that God isn't with you. But we have to understand that this is a relationship that is maturing. So you didn't mess up, you're growing up. When God stopped giving manna, it was not because he was passing judgment. He was growing them. They were graduating, right? God did not abandon them. He was calling them into stewardship. The promised land is always described as a land flowing with milk and honey. So that means that it had the capacity to sustain them, but that capacity required some cultivation. And so God didn't stop providing. God stopped spoon feeding us, and we get upset. Okay, funny story. My mama and my granny talk about how they used to have to sit side by side and spoon feed me because allegedly your girl was like, hey, put more food in my mouth. So they would literally sit and tag team feed me. I wanted that consistent food coming into my mouth. Right. And while that's funny, a lot of us look like that spiritually. We want Jesus, Holy Spirit, and the Father all taking turns spoon feeding us at the same exact time. But as we mature, we feed ourselves. And we have to learn how to do that. God does not remove the miracle, but the miracle did change form. The children of Israel still had food, but now it was through the fields, it was through the vineyards, it was through the harvest, it was through the systems. And that's what it looks like when we step into the promised land, when we step into purpose. God gives you the tools, he gives you the people, he gives you the insight, but now you have to manage. Now you have to manage it because you've been called. And so what I want you to do instead, here are some things that you can really sit with. First, be honest with God and be transparent. I told you, I told him, listen, I appreciate all of this insight. I don't feel no better. Help. Right? You have to name that emotional experience. It is in our weakness that God's strength is made strong. So what were some things that God did for me yesterday? Because I'm like, I don't feel any better. Immediately, the last thing that my therapist said to me was, all good things come from God, Charla. Soon as she said that, my husband knocks on the door because we went a couple minutes over on therapy, knocks on the door, comes in with my favorite flowers and some candy. I get to work yesterday and the office manager emails me and she's like, hey, or she texts me. She's like, hey, check your email. A parent wrote this very long and beautifully written thank you that she wanted to share, because I took the time to help her with her child who was medically complex, right? In a day where I'm like, look, God, I don't feel good very well on the inside. The Lord allowed other people to pour into me. He came and addressed the, hey, I hear you, and also I don't feel better. So you do it practically. I'm telling you because I literally experienced this last night. Okay? I want you to also reject the lie of abandonment. God has not left us. He is leading you in a new way. And if you have to say that to yourself, God has not left me. He has not forsaken me. He is leading me in a new way. I'm being entrusted with something. It's like when you were old enough for your parents to leave you at home for a little bit by yourself. It's still their house. They still make sure the lights are on, all the bills are paid, but you've been entrusted to be home alone for a little bit. Okay, do your homework, feed yourself, and go watch 106 and park. That's that's how we used to live life, okay? And then also start being more intentional in looking for the new form of provision. So you want to ask yourself, what has God already put in my hand? What systems or structures do I need to build? Who is already around me that could be of assistance that I've overlooked? Because we oftentimes pray for God to take us to the next level, but then we have to recognize that once we say that prayer, he's going to reposition us. This is not punishment. So we have to learn now. We have to get up and work the land. There's new responsibility. There's new responsibility. Mature purpose or entering into the promised land, it feels like being handed the tools to build what God already gave you. So if you're not getting constant miracles, right? If you feel like, oh man, I was getting this, this, that, and the third, but you have clear resources, you have wisdom and support, then you're not in a dry season. Because we'll mess around and say, oh, I'm in a dry season. How do you go from the wilderness to a dry season? That's not how that works. When you look in the Old Testament, they went from wilderness. They was there for hellas. Okay, they was there for hellas in their own doing. But they went from wilderness to the promised land. When you go into New Testament, Jesus was
like, say big on your next project right now at Menards. From mold and mildew to stains and hard to stick surfaces, preparing your paint project has never been easier than with Bullseye 123. Zinsser Bullseye 123 Primer is an all-purpose, high-performance, water-based primer for interior and exterior residential, commercial, and industrial applications. Say big on Bullseye 123 Primer. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. So that doesn't mean that you did something wrong just because you're in the wilderness. He was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, dealt with the temptations and the growing and the maturing there, and then came out and went right into ministry. So when you look at what the Bible says, we don't go from wilderness to dry season. You can go from wilderness to extended stay wilderness. Okay? But wilderness to dry season is not how that works. You have to ask yourself, am I still in the wilderness, or have I now been given clear resources, wisdom, and support? That just means deliverance looks different, but you're in the promised land, sis. You are right where God called you to be. You are not off track. So you have to ask yourself, am I expecting God to carry me in a season where he's calling me to cultivate? And if I stopped waiting for manna, what would I discover that God already provided? If I stop taking the time to look up at the sky, what's that proverb about the farmer that only sits and looks up at the sky? If I take the time to stop doing that and fussing about nothing coming down from the sky, would I see around me the resources that I need to do what God has called me to do? So the first way that you know that you have stepped into the promised land is that provision has shifted from passive to participatory. The next is that you are starting to encounter strategic resistance. It's not random chaos. This isn't something that you did on your own. But if you are in a place where you don't feel God anymore, and you feel resistant, the enemy loves to eat us up here because we think that we have done something wrong. This is one of the most confusing parts of stepping into purpose, of maturing spiritually, of our relationship with God. This isn't just a conversation about purpose, but this is honestly what our spiritual progression and maturation looks like. You are doing what God said. It can feel very, very confusing because the opposition doesn't stop. In fact, opposition becomes more specific. Oh, Charlotte, you want to help people learn how to love God and demonstrate how God has a plan for mental health and how this has been his plan all along. Now I'm going to overwhelm your mental health, right? In the wilderness, though, life felt chaotic. You was trying to survive day to day. The shenanigans would come from the north, south, east, and the west, okay? But when you get into the promised land, resistance becomes territorial. So I have had this genetic kidney condition. If you've listened for any amount of time, I have a condition. It's called Liddle syndrome, L-I-D-D-L-E syndrome. Very rare, very not demure, very ghetto, but God is good, okay? In all of my time in life, despite having this, my kidney doctor, my nephrologist, wanted me to participate in a study, but my kidney function was too good for me to be able to participate in this study. Okay? I want y'all to hear that. I didn't qualify because I was too healthy. The minute I get into school, I am obedient to do what God calls me to do. Specifically with mental health, the first thing, within the first month of me being in school, I go into kidney failure. That is territorial resistance. It is resistance that shows up right where God called you to build, where he called you to lead, where he called you to influence. So now God has carried me through. I've continued to follow, and I get to the end. And now I'm like, why is my face leaking? And I'm crying so much. What is happening? And I'm doing the necessary steps. I went and got my labs drawn. My vitamin D wasn't quite where it was supposed to be. So I'm doing the things. However, that resistance was still there. Oh, this is spiritual warfare. No one gives you language for the part where you encounter strategic resistance. So now you start to question whether or not you're doing the right thing. So you mislabel this pressure as punishment when it's actually proof that you're right where God called you. So if you look in Joshua in chapter 6-9, right, as soon as Israel crosses the Jordan, they don't get to rest, but there's a level of confrontation that they have to deal with. The first city that they face is Jericho, and Jericho is a fortress city. It has thick walls. There is a lot of strategic military significance, but God does not give them a traditional military strategy. He tells them to walk in silence for 6 days, shout on the seventh day, and the walls fall because of their obedience. Okay? The walls fall because of their obedience. Then in Joshua 7 is the battle at Ai. And it's spelled Ai. Okay, but it's Ai. Israel assumes that this will be an easy win, but they lose the battle. Why do they lose the battle? Because there is hidden sin. Achan had taken some things that were devoted to destruction after Jericho that wasn't supposed to be in the camp. It was in the camp and it contaminated the camp. The defeat that they dealt with was not about strategy. The defeat was about disobedience. So the resistance is different from disobedience. You may, while you're on your journey, while you're in purpose, as you mature spiritually, you're going to have moments where you get it wrong. The failure wasn't because of the external enemy and the strength of the external enemy. The failure was because there was internal compromise. And a lot of times, if we have those big uh-oh moments, there's an internal compromise somewhere, and we just have to deal with it. I hope this helps you in feeling confident and making decisions, because God literally will not allow for you to get off path. If you're sensitive enough to Holy Spirit, you're like, hold on, that wasn't resistance. That felt like a whooping. What's going on here? Okay. What's going on? So we find out first, Jericho teaches obedience. The battle of Ai, that loss, teaches about the need to check internal compromise. And then in Joshua 9, the Gibeonites, they end up deceiving Israel into making a covenant by pretending to be travelers from far away. Joshua does not talk to God about this at all. There's no discernment. They're not locked in, okay? He's not locked in. And he ends up getting locked into an agreement with these people because they lied, and ends up partnering with people that God never called them to partner with. All of these situations involved opposition, but they are for different reasons. And so you have to use discernment so you know the difference between strategic resistance and spiritual misalignment. We can't allow things like disobedience, internal compromise, and not using discernment and leaning on God to cause issue. This is why we have to really stay at the foot of the cross. A lot of us struggle with this because when we have lived, or when you have lived in survival mode, everything feels like an attack. But once you step into stability and you start walking in purpose, your brain starts to try to reconcile and make sense with, why is it still hard? And so now we have that disillusionment that we talked about last week. That cognitive dissonance starts showing up. You start to think, well, if I'm obeying God, then why am I dealing with this? Or shouldn't this be easier? Or isn't peace supposed to follow obedience? Not always. It comes eventually, but it doesn't always come immediately. And our brains often equate difficulty with danger. So when things get hard, your nervous system is like, girl, run away. Okay, remember I told y'all about the amygdala and your prefrontal lobe, and it'll just shut it down. Your brain will say retreat, even though God is saying, no, go advance, keep going. Do what I told you to do. And this is where emotional maturity starts to form. Your body is trained to associate struggle with failure, but your spirit is trying to retrain your soul to interpret opposition as a sign of progress. When I found out, I was literally on a prayer call with my prayer partner and was like, oh, the doctor's office is calling. This was last year. I'm like, girl, I probably need some iron or something, right? Because I've been praying about, like, I'm so tired. And they told me my kidneys were failing. And I was like, what? But immediately after I felt my feelings, cried a little bit, the Lord said, Charlotte, this is a test. You just have to pass it. Just listen, do what they tell you to do. This is a test. You just have to pass it. Do not be dismayed. Do not be dismayed. You have to lean on God. Because I'm like, I just started school. That, if I did not interpret it correctly, I would have been like, oh, maybe I'm not supposed to be in school because this happened. That's why we have to have emotional maturity. Strategic resistance is not chaotic. Okay, so that man coming and doing all kind of crazy stuff, and it's not making sense. We gonna have to check some fruit, check some open doors, guard our hearts. It's not chaotic. It is very personal, which is what makes it terrible. Like, what do you mean? My kidneys have never, right? Like, it's like the one thing that I'm like, I'm doing good with this. I don't like all the other symptoms of my little syndrome, but my kidney function has always been good. Glory to God. Like, so for that, it's a very sensitive, it's a very nerve-wracking thing. You'll feel tension where you've been called to lead. You'll feel fatigue in an area where you've been given authority. You'll feel misunderstood where you've been given an assignment to serve. And you may even start to romanticize the wilderness because at least there, you weren't responsible for taking ground. You would sound like the children of Israel. But we have to be clear that the very presence of opposition on the front line is evidence that you are standing in territory that the enemy doesn't want to lose. This is why you have to resist the enemy and he shall flee. If you are too tired because you're fatigued, etc., girl, just resist. You don't even have to move right this second. Resist. So what does that look like? I told y'all the stuff with the app. Me resisting is like, no, I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep doing these podcast episodes. I know that I need to lean into this, but I'm not quite sure why I'm feeling resistance in terms of things that I need to do with the app. I'm a hold right there, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to continue to do what the Lord has called me to do. I'm not retreating. I'm going to stand and resist. So we have to understand the strategy. When we look at even the walls of Jericho coming down, right? Jericho was an obstacle, but it also was confirmation. The walls of Jericho stood between Israel and the rest of the land. That's why that is significant. They were exactly where God intended for them to be. And I need us to understand that walls do not rise up where there is no threat. So once you start dealing with resistance that feels personal, resistance that feels strategic, that feels like, oh, that's a very sensitive place. Okay, that's a big word for Elmo. Once you start dealing with that, understand that you are in the right place. You're not wandering, you're not waiting, but you are walking in place where God told you that you belong. And now the enemy is on the way. Now, hear me very clearly. Not all resistance means that you're in alignment. So don't mishear. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Some of it is like, no, you're being disobedient. Just like what happened at Ai. Sometimes we lose battles, not because we're in the wrong place, but because we haven't dealt with what's within the camp, okay? We have to make sure that we don't compromise internally. We have to make sure that we're not getting ahead of God, that we're using discernment, so we're not partnering with people and putting ourselves in situations like we don't belong in, like with the Gibeonites. Continue to pray, continue to pause, continue to realign. But the biggest thing is understanding that you cannot make the assumption that every battle means that you've done something wrong. Everything that goes left doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. And it ain't always the devil. John 9:3, when the disciples asked, why is that man blind? Jesus said it's not because of the sins of his own sins or the sins of his parents. It's so that God can be glorified. So when we make it to the promised land, if you start feeling these very specific, very strategic, very sensitive parts of you being tested, being tapped on, we have to understand, oh, I'm in the right place. And also, I need to lean on God even the more. I need to lean on his word even the more. Look at Jesus in the wilderness. That man hadn't eaten for 40 days. First thing little Lucy say, turn these stones into bread if you are the Son of God, challenging his identity. So here's what I want you to do. If you are facing resistance, but you feel like you don't feel God, look for the pattern, not just the pain. Don't ignore the pain. Okay, I big cried yesterday. Just like, I don't know why. My face is leaking. I'm tired, right? But you need to ask, okay, God, now that I've pulled myself together, where is the resistance concentrated? if it's showing up around your voice, if it's showing up around your calling, if it's showing up around your leadership, if it's showing up around your mental health, and these are areas that you know you've been called to deal with, do not assume that you're off track. These are things that the enemy leans into the hardest. Then you want to check for compromise. Is there any disobedience in my camp? Okay. And that doesn't mean that you're cursed. It means that you need to repent. Once you repent, we can keep it pushing. And then I want you to build a strategy. A lot of times we can get stuck in the story, but we have to start building strategy. Do not allow your brain and your emotions to hijack your brain to where you're spiraling into self-blame. We have to now build structure. God, what is the instruction for this battle? Jericho required for them to walk and say nothing for the first 6 days. When they dealt with the battle of Ai, they had to repent. They fought them again and won. Okay? So there's that. And then the Gibeonite incident required discernment. All of these things have a requirement or a strategy, and we can get so caught up in the story and the self-blame that we lose the strategy. We have to understand that resistance is not random. Oftentimes, it is a reaction to your assignment, and you have to stay the course. The presence of resistance is not a sign that you are off course. It is often a sign and confirmation that you are taking ground. But I want you to make sure that you are discerning the source of the resistance. Is it external warfare or internal compromise? That is the biggest piece with this. Either way, do not reroute. Even though they were in disobedience, even though they did not use discernment, that did not disqualify them or kick them out of the promised land. You have to reroute. You have to lead with purpose. And so I want you to ask yourself, where is the pressure showing up, and is it tied to something that God has called me to steward? Am I facing resistance because I'm out of order or because I've stepped into the new territory that God has assigned to me? We have to have enough maturity and sensitivity to understand both. We have to have the sensitivity and maturity to understand both. And now as I'm speaking, I want to put a pin right here, okay? We have three more points. I don't want to rush them. This is turning into more than what I anticipated, and I love that for us. So I want to recap that a lot of times when you don't feel God anymore, it does not mean that you are off track. We have to learn how to discern our own spiritual maturity and growth. And these five pillars of the promised land, these five ways that you can understand that or know or tell if you're in the promised land, is how you can do a litmus test to identify where you are. So the first one we talked about is the shift in provision. It goes from passive to participatory. You have everything that you need. The second is encountering strategic resistance and understanding what that looks like. I'm so excited for us to get through the next three points next week. I pray that this is blessing you. Go back and read Joshua. Read the scriptures. Pull the insight that you need. God will specifically give you instruction on those two points based on what you're reading. And I'm telling you what I know from experience. So sis, I pray that you felt seen. I pray that this is exciting you the way that it is exciting me to know that God is just revealing himself in such a way. and that you feel reinvigorated in your purpose. I cannot wait until we are able to go through the next 3 points next week. I love you, friend, and I'll see you soon.